This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest with Tina Carmelia, Tishao Ik and Sharmila Gunnison. Here are the stories we have this hour.
An MP in the UK urged the country to consider a tax on meat to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Will this cause a ripple effect across the world?
And Sultan Muhammad V stepped down from his post as the 15th Yang di-Pertuan Agong of Malaysia 2 days ago. We talk about what this means. We talk about what it means when a monarch gives up his position.
First, though, here's I'd Do Anything for Love by Meatloaf.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Meatloaf with I'd Do Anything for Love, but would you agree to a tax on meat?
Well, before we get to that, yesterday we did a story on Veganuary and we ran a poll on Twitter asking you, have you tried a plant-based diet? So overwhelmingly, most of you said no. So that's actually 44% said no. And another 20% said no, but I want to, which is encouraging. 24% said yes. 12% said yes, but I failed. But, you know, take heart, be courageous, try again this January.
Try again.
Yes. Yeah. And anyway, if you missed that discussion on Veganuary, you can download the podcast on our BFM app or on our website.
So now we are discussing whether a meat tax is a good idea. This is after UK Member of Parliament Caroline Lucas urged her country to consider a tax on meat to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Lucas is an MP from the Green Party, and in yesterday's interview on Good Morning Britain, which is a TV morning show, the party's deputy leader Amelia Womack defended her meat tax proposal.
But I think it's about how we reduce our meat consumption, because the UN has made it clear that we have 12 years to tackle the worst effects of climate change, take those positive steps. This is a window of opportunity, moving people towards plant-based diets. It's going to take government policy to make it the easiest option. And actually, if you looked at what Caroline said, she actually proposed a much broader range of policies which were challenging localism, which was making sure that we were having a conversation about how our whole agriculture works. Mm. Because here in the UK, only 57% of our vegetables are grown here, 16% of our fruit, and we're not promoting localism, we're not promoting local farmers. And so the agriculture bill is going through Parliament. This is the big vision stuff that needs to be happening, of talking about how we make sure that we have farmers' livelihoods at the heart of our policy.
A meat tax is a tax levied on the carbon emissions of meat or animal products, right? Like the carbon tax?
Yes. So the thing is, though, what exactly is the difference between the two? So Mina Rahman, Climate Change Program Director from Third World Network, joins us on the line. Mina, what are the main differences between the carbon tax and meat tax?
Well, the carbon tax is a tax which is across all sectors which are emitting greenhouse gas emissions. So it covers a wide range of sectors, which are including the power sector, I mean, energy sector, agriculture, the transport, and so on. Whereas the meat tax covers only the agriculture sector, the meat producing industry. It's much more narrow than a carbon tax.
Which of the two is better for prioritizing sustainability?
I would actually go for the carbon tax as a starting point, because I think that we need to look at which sectors in the country are contributing more to the carbon emission. And I think in our case in Malaysia, the major contributor is the transport sector and the energy sector. So I do think that that would actually be a priority for us. And of course, our position on the carbon tax is that it should not be burdensome on the poor. It has to be progressive so that those who are producing or consuming much more of the or contributing to higher emissions are the ones who have to pay rather than taxing the poor. So in that sense, we have to look at the element of who actually is the largest consumer. So not taxing the poor, but making sure that it is taxing the rich consumer.
That was Meena Rahman, Climate Change Program Director from Third World Network.
So besides the meat tax and the carbon tax, other forms of sin tax include things like the soda tax, which we're actually introducing in April, as well as the more conventional ones like those for tobacco, gambling, for alcohol. Mm-hmm. So will something like this cause a ripple effect across the world? We now turn to Hilary Chew, a freelance environmental consultant. Hilary, with Malaysia slowly warming up to the idea of green taxes for the sake of our environment, especially with the sugar tax coming into effect in a few months, is the idea of implementing a meat tax in Malaysia likely to happen?
Meat tax would have a broader sustainability reach, as meat tax aims to achieve reduction of emissions from the livestock sector, based on the assumption that a tax would reduce consumption and therefore lower production of livestock. On top of that, it would help in achieving the health and humane livestock farming objective by narrowing the price difference between organic and conventional meat. Certainly, there will be impacts ranging from negative ones, such as agribusiness that will shrink, loss of employment and revenue to the country, to positive ones such as addressing obesity and healthier meat production. I think the experience in implementing the sugar tax will be very informative to the government in considering a meat tax in the future.
According to the Farm Animal Investment Risk and Return Initiative, meat consumption grew by more than 5 times between 1992 and 2016 and has been linked to greenhouse gas emissions, global obesity, rising rates of diabetes and cancer, soil degradation and deforestation.
I understand the rationale behind the idea of a meat tax, but for me, one of the things that maybe gives me pause in supporting it wholeheartedly is the fact that often taxes like these, they unfairly burden the poor because, food choice is actually something that richer people can make. Mm-hmm. You can choose to eat something, whereas people who are poor, then it becomes a question of that. What about access to nutrition? These are sectors that are often already struggling to meet their daily nutritional needs anyway.
Yeah.
And then when you tax something like meat, so when Meena said earlier about it having to be a progressive system, I wholeheartedly think that when it comes to a meat tax, that's really important.
Yeah. The lower income groups are always disproportionately affected. They are already suffering in terms, when it comes to a health perspective, they are suffering, with the burden of malnutrition because of their lack of access to a good variety of food choices.
Mm. Yeah. And it's also a very authoritarian move, isn't it? I feel like it's a nanny state.
A nanny state,
move.
Yeah.
And I'm always so critical of it. When we discuss soda tags, any kind of tags on, I don't know, choice, I suppose, right?
Yeah. And that, it also sort of, that takes us, of course, to the side of asking the question of, are we then putting the burden of this on the individual consumer when actually it's corporations and government policies that do far more damage to things like the climate and the environment. And instead, we're sort of moving that responsibility onto us and saying, oh, if you stop eating, if you eat less meat, somehow all these problems will go away. And that's actually not quite true.
Yeah, exactly. So what does the meat tax look like? Depends on who you ask, but typically you'll arrive at these figures. Environmentalists and researchers have proposed a 40% tax on cattle products and a 20% tax on dairy produce to offset the emissions produced from animal agriculture. Mm. And on that note, here's Taxman by The Beatles, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.